This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner. And my friends, I've been waiting for you. And today we're going to return to our series, and we're about to wrap it up. It's a 20-part series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. It is 20 parts, and it is just jam-packed with revelation and teaching from the New Testament about the rapture, the Antichrist, and the tribulation. And it comes with a study guide, and we really work hard on these study guides. I love my study guides because we put so much work into them, and I believe they're important because you can read all the information while you're seeing or hearing the series, and while you read it and see or hear it, it really gets all of this revelation down deep inside you, and this is teaching that you really need to have down deep inside you. We need to know what the Bible says about the rapture of the Antichrist and the tribulation. And we're also offering you my book, which is called The Rapture of the Antichrist and the Tribulation. The foreword is by my friend Jimmy Evans. The subtitle says An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next. And today and tomorrow is the last day, which we're offering it on the program, but it's fully illustrated, easy to read, and it's going to answer a lot of questions for you. But hey, you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call, and please let us know how to pray for you. I was just reading today in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And my friends, when we pray scripturally, or when we pray according to what's written in the Bible, God's ears open up and God hears us. That's what we're taught in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. If we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And verse 15 says, And if He hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we make of Him. So when you reach out to us, we will pray scripturally. We'll pray according to His will. God will hear us. God will answer us. And Jesus will do something magnificent in your life. And you can reach out to us by calling the number on the screen, and please write it down and save it. So if you ever find yourself in need of prayer, you can call that number, or you can send us an email. Some people would prefer to write. Well, when you send your email, as soon as it shows up in the inbox, or when the phone rings and we take your call, we're going to really begin to pray for you. And I want to say thank you for being a partner. We're told in Proverbs 10:21 that the lips of the righteous feed many. And that's our job, is to feed many people all over the planet the Word of God. And thank you for helping us to do it. And if you're not a partner yet, please pray about becoming a partner with our ministry. But reach for your Bible, and today we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter tells us that there's going to be mockers that will arise in the last days that will laugh at those of us who believe in the rapture of the church. Now, in this entire series, I've made it very clear that I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We saw in the previous episode, we're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. I believe that with all of my heart. But to be fair, there are actually 8 different views about the rapture of the church. And in chapter 8 of this book, I cover all 8 views. And the reason I cover all 8 of them is because I want you to see what people believe about this subject. Maybe they believe a little differently than me, but I want you to see all of it, and then you can come to your own conclusion. But view number 1 is the pre-tribulation rapture. That is what I believe. View number 2 is a partial rapture. Again, I cover this in chapter 8. View number 3 is a mid-tribulation rapture. I also cover this in chapter 8. View number 4 is a pre-wrath rapture. I have many friends that believe that. That's not what I believe, but I respect what they believe. That's also covered in the book. View number 5, a post-tribulation rapture. I emphatically do not believe that, but I also cover it in the book. View number 6, a post-millennialist view, and then point number 7, an amillennialist view. Point 6 and point 7, I emphatically do not agree with. And then number 8, there is what I call a pan-tribulationist view, and those are people who say, I don't know what I believe, but in the end, it's going to all pan out. But it's important for us to know what people believe on this subject. And you know what I found? I found that there's something to learn from everyone. For example, there's something for me to learn from those who believe from a partial rapture. There's something for me to learn from those who believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. There's something for me to learn from those who believe in a post-tribulation rapture. And I can even learn from the post-millennialists and the amillennialists, even though I emphatically don't agree with them. There's always something that you can learn from someone else. And if we have varying views on this subject, it does not need to be a point of division. We can all rejoice that Jesus is coming. And if everybody is wrong, everybody is off just by a few years. The fact is, Jesus is coming. But we're living in an age when there are some who don't believe in the rapture at all. In fact, they laugh at us who do believe in the rapture. And every time they laugh at us, they don't know it, but they are fulfilling Scripture. Let me show you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, Peter, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." And he begins in this verse by saying, "knowing this." And in Greek, it is a form of the Greek word ginosko, which means to know. But here, the tense describes what absolutely must be known, what must always be known, and what must never be forgotten. So Peter's describing something so very important. The King James Version says, "knowing this," but again, it really means you must know this, you must always know this, and you must never forget this. And then it says in the King James Version, "knowing this first," the word first, the Greek word proton, means first, foremost, above all else. So Peter's telling us something very, very important in this text. So now the verse means, you must know this, always know this, and never forget this. Know this first, foremost, never forget it, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Even the word "that" in this verse is very important because it is the Greek word hoti. The word hoti is what I personally call a pointer word. It points to the next statement and lets us know that what he is about to say is really, really important. So you could translate it specifically "that." And now what does he want us to know? That in the last days, there will come scoffers. Well, what do we mean by the last days? Well, in Greek, it actually says the end of days, the end of days. It describes the very end of days or the very end of time. Peter uses here a form of the Greek word eschatos. It's where you get the term eschatology, which is the study of end times. Eschatos, a word that depicts, now listen to this, what is final, and again, where we derive the word eschatology, which is the theological study of end times. But there's something else very, very important here. This word was used to describe the very last or the very ultimate end of a thing. So when you see the word eschatos, you're pointing all the way to the very, very end, and that is why this word was used by ancient Greeks to describe the point that was the furthest away. And the ancient world actually used the word eschatos as a seafaring word to describe the very last port of call for a ship. Although a ship was in transit and at many ports en route to its final destination, the word eschatos was used to depict the very last port, and this was the last stopping off point and signified it was the end of the road for the journey, and the journey was finished. That's the word which Peter now uses in this verse. Furthermore, ancient writers used eschatos to refer to the final boundary of a territory or the farthest edge of a domain, and thus the word eschatos indicates this is the end, You can no go further. And in this verse, the word eschatos points to the very ultimate end of days, or to the very last of a long last days season that could be called the end of days. All of that is in this word last days, which in Greek actually says the end of days. Now, the last days actually began on the day of Pentecost, and this is important for you to understand because mockers say, ah, they've been calling this the last days for 2,000 years. Well, that's correct. The last 2,000 years biblically is what is called the last days. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. Peter declared it. When he stood up on the day of Pentecost and he quoted Joel chapter 2, and he said, thus saith God, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it triggered what some people call the church age. Some people call it the age of grace, but the Bible technically calls it the last days. And the last days began on the day of Pentecost, and it goes all the way until the very end of this present age. But when you come to this verse, Peter's talking about the very, 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 very end of that age. He uses the word eschatos, the very end of the territory, when you can go no further, when you've sailed to the last port, there's no other port to go to. Maybe you've had many stopping off places along the way, but now you've come to the very last port. You've come to the end of the road. That is the word which Peter now uses in this verse. So when he says that in the last days, scoffers will come, he says, when time has sailed to the last port and no more time remains for the journey, you've come to the very, very end of days, he said, there shall arise scoffers. Well, when you read this in the Greek text, it really says it differently. It says scoffing scoffers. It's the word scoffing used twice, but a better translation would be scoffing scoffers, and it's the picture of people that give themselves to mockery and give themselves to scoffing. And listen to this, it's derived from a Greek word that depicts those who make fun of something through mockery. I'm thinking of recently something that I heard on YouTube, somebody who was literally scoffing and mocking those of us who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I mean, just mocking us. Well, they didn't realize it, but they were fulfilling this verse. That's one of the signs that we've sailed to the very end of the age. And Peter says, when you've sailed to the end of the age and no more time remains for the journey, you'll know it because scoffing scoffers will show up in the church and they will begin to mock those of us who believe in the rapture of the church. But this word scoffers was used for playing a game with children or to amuse a crowd by impersonating someone in a silly and exaggerated way. We find the same word used to describe Herod's men of war. And when Jesus stood before Herod Antipas, the Bible tells us that his men of war mocked him. It means they played a game of charades. They fell on the floor as if they'd been fallen under the power. One of them said, oh, I can see. One of them pretended that his ears had been opened. They mocked Jesus. They played a game of charades. And now Peter says at the very end of age, people are going to play a game of charades about those of us who believe in the rapture. They're going to laugh at us. They're going to tell jokes about us. They're going to say that we are delirious and people who believe in a fantasy, scoffing scoffers. But Peter uses this word to foretell a day at the very end of the age when scoffers would rise up before Jesus returns to mock people who believe in Christ's return for the church. Scoffing scoffers. Now, if you have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, write that down. Scoffing scoffers. And every time you hear somebody mocking or scoffing about the rapture of the church, remember this verse. And remember that Peter said, you're getting to know this, always know this, never forget this. You need to know at the very end of the age, this is what is going to happen. And in fact, the RIV of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says it like this. Knowing, always knowing, and never forgetting. First, foremost, and above all else. Specifically that, in the last days, when time has sailed to its last port and not much more time is left for the journey, you'll know it because of mocking scoffers, those who sneer and make fun of those who believe in Christ's coming, people who are really dominated and ruled by their own base instincts and who are falling after them. And then when we come to verse 4, Peter tells us what these scoffing scoffers are going to say. And the King James Version says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But notice Peter says, and saying. And the word saying in Greek, the word legantes, pictures one who says and says and says and says and talks continuously, alleging and alleging. So you could translate it like this. And saying, alleging, carrying on, saying and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And the word where in Greek means exactly where, exactly when. When is this thing ever going to take place? And then it says, where is the promise of his coming? Well, even the words the promise in Greek are very, very important. It is the definite article he with the word epangelia, which is the word for an announcement, a declaration, or a guaranteed promise. And it is a word which was used to describe what had been legally promised and is expected to come to pass. But Peter uses the definite article in front of it to state the promise of Christ's return is a very, very specific promise that God has announced, declared, guaranteed, and promised will come to pass. The guaranteed promise of Christ's return was and is an integral part of apostolic preaching and teaching. And again, Peter uses a definite article. It's not just any promise, it is the promise of his coming. And the word coming, the Greek word parousia, is a technical expression for the royal visit of a king or an emperor who has come with all the power, all the might, and all the authority to deal with the situation at hand and to put everything in order. And this word parousia can be used interchangeably to describe either the rapture of the church or the second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. In both events, Jesus is going to arrive with power to put everything in order. When the rapture of the church begins, the church is going to be withdrawn, and immediately God is going to begin pouring out judgment upon the earth. God is going to begin putting things in order. But the verse goes on to say, for since the fathers fell asleep. The word fathers could refer to Old Testament fathers. It could refer to the early fathers of the church. But they say, hey, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. And the word continue, the Greek word diameno, means to perpetually and thoroughly remain completely the same and unchanged. Well, folks, these people are delusional because nothing has remained the same. They are just ignoring the facts. In fact, you're going to see in tomorrow's episode that they are willingly ignorant of the truth. Open your eyes. My friends, we are sailing to the end of the age. We're nearly at the end of the age. We may already be there. But they say all things continue as they were. As they were in Greek means in keeping with, in like manner, in the same manner, exactly the same, and therefore consistent and unchanged. And these people say, ah, these folks who believe in the rapture, they're just delusional. They are living in a fantasy. Nothing has ever changed. They've been talking about the rapture of the church for 2,000 years. They've been calling this the last days for 2,000 years. Well, that's right. For 2,000 years, it has been the rapture of the church. But the RIV of 2 Peter 3:4 says it like this. They go on and on, alleging and saying, exactly where is the guaranteed promise of his glorious coming? Those mockers will allege. For from the time the fathers died, absolutely everything continues perpetually the same and is unchanged, exactly as it's always been and in keeping with how things have been since the very beginning of creation. And they will mock those of us who say, you better get ready because Jesus is about to come. But my friends, if mockers show up, you just need to look at them and think to yourself, you're fulfilling Scripture. Your behavior And what you're saying is part of the proof that we've come to the very, very end of days, and Jesus is about to descend into the lower atmosphere with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God to resurrect the dead. And those of us that are alive and remain at that moment, we're going to be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And my friends, that's good news. But the Bible prophesied that there would be mockers that would arise in the end of the age. So if you hear people mocking you because you believe in the rapture, don't lose heart. Just know you're on track and they are fulfilling Scripture. Hey, we're out of time, but I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone asked the question, is the word rapture in the New Testament? That's a very good question. The word rapture is actually a Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo, and the word harpazo means to snatch out of danger just in the nick of time. And though the word rapture itself is not found in the New Testament, the word harpazo is, and we find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, where the Apostle Paul is describing the resurrection of the just at the coming of Jesus. And then he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And these words, caught up, are a translation of the Greek word harpazo, which in the Latin is translated as the word rapture. So actually the word rapture is in the New Testament, but here it is translated as the words caught up. And it describes that moment when Jesus is going to come for his church, and in the twinkling of an eye, the dead are going to be raised, and we which are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35, and the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now, or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey guys, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is the lunchroom in our Tulsa ministry headquarters facility. People have to have a place to work, and they work really hard in this facility, taking calls, answering letters from thousands and thousands of people who reach out to us every day and every week. But in this room, we decided to adorn the walls with photographs of all the places where we have offices for Renner Ministries. Behind me, there's a beautiful photograph of Moscow, because you know we have a very important office there. Then there's a photograph of London, because we have an office in England, and we've had an office in England for years and years. Then there's a beautiful picture of Riga, where Denise and I and our boys lived for 9 years, and our European office in Riga handles so much correspondence from people that reach out to us. And then there is a photograph of the Oklahoma State Capitol to represent this office, which is in the state of Oklahoma. But right now, we're trying to pay off this facility. It's called the Ministry Expansion Project. We've already paid off 78% of the facility. And my friends, we need your help to help us finish this. And if you're not already a part of the giving team, I'm inviting you to join us and to help us pay off this facility. And when it is finished being paid for, it's going to release all those finances so we can keep taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. But thank you for being a part. Well, today we have seen that mockers are going to arise in the very end of the age and make fun of us that believe in the rapture. So if people make fun of you and laugh at you because you believe in the rapture, don't be surprised. The Bible said that would happen. But very often people say, wait, if Jesus is coming for the church, why is it taking him so long to get here? That's what we're going to answer in tomorrow's program, so please don't miss tomorrow's episode. But order the entire series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation, and remember that it comes with a wonderful study guide. It is enormous, and it is just jam-packed. You will devour it. And please be sure to order the book, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation, and the subtitle says, An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next. And today and tomorrow, these are the last days we're offering this on the program. So please go online or give us a call to order all these things right now. But I want to pray for you. So put your hand on your heart and remember to call us if you need prayer, specific prayer, or send us an email. But Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we can stand on the trustworthy foundation of the Word of God and know what's going to happen between now and the end of the age. And we do not need to have fear. And I thank you, Father, that even when people mock us because we believe in the rapture, even they are fulfilling Scripture, and we can take heart that we are on track. Father, we thank you that you've delivered us from the wrath to come, that you're not going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. And we say amen and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with me. Please let us know how to pray for you and join me tomorrow as we're going to answer the question, why is it taking so long for Jesus to come? It's going to be good. But until then, remember Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.